Sometimes on this show, we ask you to tell us about art that has changed your life. Seth Barkin of Las Vegas had that experience, and he wrote in. His dad was a classical musician, a cellist, and wanted him to go into the family business. So Seth studied classical piano for years, but it never quite suited him.
There was definitely a different sound that I wanted to be producing from the piano, but before you actually have a name for it, you know, it's just disappointment after disappointment. It's like going on an endless series of severely bad dates, bad blind dates. Then one day, my mom took me to Costco with her because she needed help lifting Pepsi and dog food. And while I was there, I wandered over to the little record aisle, and I found this utterly tasteless compendium of what was purported to contain the entire history of jazz on, you know, 7 CDs. And I thought that jazz was pretentious music for, you know, wannabe hipster middle-aged, you know, losers. I thought maybe the answer is on that. I think it was a week later, I just started going through this entire thing and getting more and more dispirited. There was straight-ahead bebop. There was the last gasp of fusion before it became easy listening. It had a lot of big band stuff, which I also hated. You know, you're looking for the one thing. You know, the one thing. And I will never forget it. I was sitting there on my floor, and old-fashioned love. Earl Father Hines. And I was like, what's this? Within the first maybe 10 seconds, I heard that this guy was approaching the piano as if it were a completely blank slate and that there were no rules. Here we go. It was this fireworks show. It's like he's impersonating an entire Dixieland jazz band. You know, one line on each finger. He's got the trombones and the line. And he's so delicate. He's so subtle. But even when he's holding it back, it's like, you know, he's like a tiger. You know that he's just sitting there smiling. And now he's already soloing, which is crazy. He had this sense of drama, building it into this catastrophic, insane, active, like barbaric musical violence that was just calculated to absolutely arrest you. Unbelievable. I remember a couple tears rolling down my face, and I remember just being totally vindicated. This is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Every time I sat down to practice, it was to chase Earl Father Hines. It was to be able to sound like that. And so all my efforts, all my energies went into that single pursuit. For a while, 4 years, I played for drinks and tips at a bar called The Freakin' Frog. And I had really cut my teeth there. Sometimes I would play from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Sometimes I wouldn't take a break for 9 hours at a time. I actually learned how to drink a beer and keep a stride bass going. But, you know, playing solo piano in front of a bunch of people who are drinking is about as dark a place as a musician can go. You know, sometimes they don't listen. The worst, though, is when they're really listening and you're really on. And not only are they not applauding, they're not tipping. And over time, it begins to wear on you. And there was just this one night where I was just so on and I knew everyone was listening. The whole room was packed. And I didn't get any applause. I had like maybe $2 in my tip jar. And I, you know, I'm looking out at the room and I'm thinking about my friends from high school who are now, you know, doctors and lawyers, or, and I'm thinking, I'm not getting any younger at this. It was too much. It had been years of doing this. And what am I doing? And I started thinking, what brought me here? And the first thought that jumped into my head was old-fashioned love. If I had never heard that, I would absolutely not be here. And, you know, I was so drunk at the point that I thought, if I had a time machine, I know I could find, oh, I know exactly on the shelf where that CD was. I could break in. I could take that CD. And, but anyone who's a musician will tell you that you live in service to your masters, to the people that inspired you the most. I mean, it's, you like to feel that, you're constantly, bringing them back from the ether or from wherever it is we go when we die, you know, and, every now and then, I'll be playing and I'll kind of space out and go into where like the good stuff happens, and I'll hear something come out of my left hand and I'll be like, oh my God, that sounded almost like Girl from the Heights. And, you know, for one moment the piano was shimmering in my hands. I don't know, whatever. But you spend your life chasing it. That's it.
Listener Seth Barkin. He performs at the Freakin' Frog and other venues in Las Vegas. Is there some piece of music or a movie or painting or a book that has changed your life? If so, tell us about it at studio360.org. And that is it for today's show. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you'll listen again next week. Studio 360 is produced by PRI, Public Radio International, and WNYC. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein,
Vital Malad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lott,
Amanda Aronchik,
Alana Harper,
Kurt Schlachter,
Kelly Sullen.
And our theme music is by David Van Tiegel.
PRI's Studio 360 is funded in part by Ken and Lucy Lehman, who believe that winning workplaces respect, reward, and invest in their employees. By the Lilly Auchincloss Foundation, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art.
PRI, Public Radio International.